It wasn't too long after the war in Iran began that the U.S. government advised all Americans not just leave the countries immediately around Iran, but pretty much the entire Middle East. Since embassies had been shut down, air travel was extremely limited at best, didn't leave Americans in that region with much to work with, did it? Now, while you might be thinking that this will be a situation you'll never be in, if you do any foreign travel, who says you couldn't be, even in a region that you thought was stable? What's that saying? Failing to plan is planning to fail. My next guest is with us, help you with that planning, which won't just keep you safe, but it could save your life. He offers his expert guidance in his latest book, Look Twice, Volume 3, Your Guide When Danger Comes to You at Home and Overseas. He's a retired CIA operative who led and managed clandestine operations around the world. He also served in the U.S. Marine Corps, attaining the grade of captain. Tim Beard, how are you today, Tim?
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to come back on again.
Well, I appreciate your continued work on this very timely information, timbeardauthor.com. You can find out more about not just Look Twice Volume 3, but Volume 2, as well as Volume 1. Let's build a foundation for the listener, and because this is the running theme through all of your books, the Look Twice mindset. What are a couple of the elements of
sure.
that?
A couple of the elements on that. First off, I as I said before, I want to say this again because it's so important. Security doesn't have to be hard. It's doing the fundamentals, the basics right every single time. And your audience, they can do this. You got to be in the moment. So these are some of the elements. You need to be aware and in the moment. You need to be paying attention, not in a paranoid way, but with your head up and just be alert and know what's going on around you. Don't be staring at your phone. Don't have headphones on when you're exposed on the street. This applies anywhere in the world. Another principle there is planning and preparation. A big part of, some of the folks got caught, say they're in Dubai or they're over in the region near Iran. It's been 47 years since our embassy was overrun, and I believe it was 4 November 1979, so a long time ago. There have been problems boiling along over the years, and finally it boiled over. So the thing was, by planning and preparing and trying to see, hey, what's coming this way, that's where you want to try to get ahead of problems. You want to mitigate risk by avoiding, because obviously if you're in a threat area, in a war zone or an area that's receiving missile strikes, that's beyond the capability of any human to defend against other than getting out of the way. And so with the look twice mindset, it's avoiding, it's planning and preparing, it's being aware. And when you're planning that travel, hey, do I want to go there? Things seem like they're heating up a bit, and maybe it's not the best call.
And also, too, where you think you can have reliance on an outside individual or organization, embassies, for example, like I said in the introduction,
sure.
You teach that that's great to think that and hope that's going to be there, but if not, what's going to fall upon me to take care of?
Yeah, a lot of times you got to be self-sufficient. It's important that you contact the embassy and that you are on record as being in the country, that you sign up for notifications for the local embassy or consulate wherever you're at, because then they'll know you're in theater and they can pay attention. But if you put yourself into that environment and the environment's overwhelmed, they're not necessarily going to be able to come help you. They're going to do their best, but that's not in their mission statement to rescue and get everybody out of there. One thing a lot of Americans forget about, they think when they go overseas, they're like, well, I'm an American. I have special rights and privileges. When you're in a sovereign country, somebody else's country, you're a visitor. You don't have any special rights or privileges. The embassy will try to help you out. The local consulate, which is subordinate to the embassy, they'll try to help you out as much as they can, but you are subject to the laws of that environment. And if there's a conflict going on there and you put yourself into that situation, you may have to find a way to get out. And that can be very, very difficult, especially something as large as this.
Certainly, depending on the nation you're in, you can go from being, you might be thinking you're a special privileged American, but in fact, you could quickly become a target.
Absolutely. And I would offer that many Americans are targets by virtue of being American in a lot of places around the world. There are mixed responses to Americans. Some people like us a lot, some people don't. And it also varies by times in history. There have been places where you could go and visit. You and I could go on a trip to someplace, and they loved us a few years ago, and maybe they don't love us now. Or they couldn't stand us a few years ago, and now they're best friends with America. And that's the thing I would offer to the listeners. One thing that is constant is change. Just because I've been to a lot of places around the world, obviously, based on my background. There may be a country I went to 20 years ago. It has completely changed, and it could be the best friend of the United States now, or it could be an enemy. Things change, and sometimes they change quickly. So when you're doing your research, you can't say, well, I've been going there for years. I would quickly say, and what's changed over that period? What is current as of today? Here's another one of these quotes I throw out to your audience. Bad news doesn't get better with age. It's not fine wine or cheese.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the situation, you need to say, this is what's going on. I need to be straight. I need to not lie to myself or the people I'm with. I need to say, this is what I'm seeing, and it's ugly. And now you're going to have to figure out, how do I deal with the problem in front of me? A lot of people try to sugarcoat stuff. They're like, well, it's not that bad, or we're going to be okay. Sometimes you're not going to be okay. You need to plan for what is in front of you, and you got to guide yourself to be okay. That's a really important point. Don't lie to yourself and say, it'll all work out. It'll work out because you see the problem set, and then you are addressing the problem set logically, thoughtfully, and right now. And you're trying to figure out what to do. Know your resources before you go into a particular theater. Know where the embassy is. You know, what part of town it is. What's the local consulate if you're away from the capital city? Do you have contact numbers? Are they aware of you being there? What's historically been the problems in the local area? I address a lot of this, as you mentioned, in Volume 3. I have a whole bunch of questions I came up with that I think are important to ask before you schedule travel to go someplace. And just remember, environments change.
Well, with Tim Beer with his latest book, Look Twice, Volume 3, Your Guide When Danger Comes to You at Home and Overseas, timbeardauthor.com, the website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Tim also writes about medical concerns that come about, as well as self-defense, which I've noticed over recent years, Tim, we always think of shooting academies and military-based training for learning how to respect and use a gun. But I've seen many gun ranges and gun dealers start. I mean, sure, it's a way to add to revenue for a working business. But the ones I've talked to, they say they want to help people respect and understand a firearm, not just get it and use it. And that's a big difference, I think.
And it is. Just because you purchase a firearm doesn't make you an expert in firearms. When you buy a firearm, you just took on a whole bunch of responsibility. I would offer the number one thing, if you purchase a firearm, you've got to train, learn how to use it. Just because you buy a guitar or a piano doesn't make you a Eric Clapton, a famous guitar player. It doesn't make you a concert pianist. You have to practice and practice. Now, with a firearm, you can get skilled relatively quickly with good training. But as you mentioned, there's a lot of folks out there who will offer training. The best place to go if you really want to get serious about it is to go to a professional shooting school. There are several of those out there around the United States that have been very safe in training people. They have expert instructors with solid backgrounds, and they've been doing it for many, many, many years. So you can search online and find some of those. The other one, too, and I know there are different feelings about the NRA for different folks, but one thing the National Rifle Association does do very well, they train, and they have instructors who are certified to teach people the safe handling and storage of firearms. That is a great resource as well. The third one, and a smart way to go, wherever you purchase the firearm from, you know, say, I'd really like to learn how to use this and get, you know, intimately comfortable with this particular weapon, because it's a tool. You got to know how to use it. Talk to the people at the gun shop, and a lot of them can direct you towards really good training resources. Chris, the thing that folks need to be careful of is when they talk to somebody who they know and they go, oh, yeah, I'll teach you how to shoot. Yeah. Well, they may be teaching them a lot of bad habits. I learned to shoot in the United States Marine Corps, and the United States Marine Corps is really, really good at teaching people to shoot, because they've been doing it for you know, almost 250 years. So it's something that there are people who will learn in the military, but you just need to know what's their background and are they a good teacher of it. That's a really important piece, though.
I have to wrap up on this. I want to wrap up what you begin the book with, the section on civil unrest. Typically, short of an assassination, the first one that comes to mind was the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., and civil unrest quickly developed after that. But typically, civil unrest is a long-term developing situation. How important is it for someone to understand the difference between possible and probable?
And that is also a piece of the look-twice mindset. First, let me define that for the listeners. The possible versus the probable, the example I'll give, a meteor could fall on me right now and crush me. Is that possible? Sure. Is it probable? No, it's not. I have limited resources. Everybody does. Limited attention. If I'm worried about every possibility, I'm going to be frustrated, paranoid, nervous, on edge all the time in a self-made prison. That is not any way to live. What folks should do is look at the 3, 4, 5 most probable things from a security perspective that could happen in a situation. You're driving through a difficult neighborhood. You know you're going to have to stop at a stoplight or a stop sign. Is it possible I could have my car jacked or have somebody approach me while the car is stationary? It's possible. I would say in some environments, especially if there's a history of that, it may be probable. So think ahead of time, what am I going to do? What would I do while you're clear in mind, while you don't have adrenaline surging through your body when you start making bad decisions and you lose your fine motor skills and can't work levers or push buttons very well? What am I going to do in that situation? Right to that hard drive in your brain. So that's where you're going to go when something happens for real. So that's the possible versus the probable. If you're going to an environment, for example, where there has been boiling unrest, that can be overseas. When I wrote these books, it can pertain to the United States. It can also pertain to a lot of countries around the world where they have unrest. There are difficult situations that are on the verge of boiling all the time. I would certainly question, why am I going there? Maybe for work, but am I going there for fun? If I'm going for fun and I got to look over my shoulder, that's not such fun. That's not a good time.
No.
So maybe I don't want to go there. So again, that comes back to the planning and preparation. But in Volume 3, I talk about civil unrest, and I give a little planning process that anyone can use to help you plan in advance what happens if the unthinkable comes true and stuff starts to boil over. Where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? What are you going to carry? And what are you going to do along the way? Who are you moving with? If you're moving with somebody that has disabilities who can't run or can't walk very far, you got to take that into account if that's a family member or a friend, somebody you're moving with. So I really go into detail on that, and that'll help a lot of folks. But does stuff boil up overnight? We've had some challenges in the United States where there may be a shooting, and people, and they get very upset, and something starts to boil up quickly and can boil over. And that's something that you may want to have a plan in place if you live in a major urban center, and something like that's happened historically. It doesn't hurt to plan. It doesn't hurt to have an idea of what you're going to do. And if something does happen, you'll be grateful for the time you put into it.
And that's really what Tim teaches with all of his Look Twice books, the importance of planning. And what will surprise you is your capability of creating and executing a sustainable, effective plan. He gives you the steps and shows you really how realistic it is. You won't be called upon to build a backyard bunker. This is all realistic, easy to do, easy to access tools and strategies to keep you safe no matter what happens to explode either here in America. Is it a possibility? At this point, I could say possibility. Probability, well, maybe that's the benefit of a 24/7 news stream that we can always see whether a possible is becoming a probable. Certainly overseas, that's more obvious, more than ever, perhaps. Find out more about all of Tim's writings. More importantly, get them for your education, your awareness, and your safety at timbeardauthor.com. Tim, you are a fountain of factual, necessary truths for us to be realistic about the world around us. I thank you for that, for being here today.
Thanks so much, Chris.